Good morning again.
Good morning.
You guys turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Certainly appreciate the words that have been spoken this morning, the encouragement, edification we've had. Uncle Dave, it's nice to be everybody's favorite uncle. That's a good place to be. I mean, these guys all are your kids. And that's great. JD, I have to say, 29 years old, getting old. You are getting old, and you said, "Where does that leave me?" I will say you help contribute to my age. I'll just leave it at that. And then Josh, your Lord's Supper meditation was awesome. That is, guys, that is what it's about. You know, this the public reading here. People came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said something greater than Solomon is here. Why would we not want to come? Why would we not want to feast on that of Jesus Christ, our Lord? I'll probably come back to that a little bit in my message today. Because it is about fellowship. And then one other thing I was thinking, the Judah and Israel were as numerous. This is during the reign of Solomon. They were as numerous as the sand is on the seashore in abundance. They were eating and drinking and rejoicing. Guys, the prophecy about Abraham's descendants being as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore, that has to do ultimately with the church of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And the kingdom. The kingdom is not about eating and drinking physical things, but the spiritual things that Josh brought forth from the Scripture today. It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise your great and holy and righteous name. Father, we're so thankful that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through the pages of your word, ultimately through Jesus Christ. No one can come to you, Father, unless the Son leads us to you. We're so thankful for that revelation. And I ask, Father, that each of us would be motivated to know you, to know about you, to be able to feast on you, to be able to eat it all, to partake and see that you are good. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would handle the word rightly, and that all of us would be committed to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So wrapping up 2 Corinthians 13, last time I started this message and didn't get to finish it, so today I'll finish it. Really want to key in on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We talked a little about grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the love of God recently in this passage of Scripture. And so, really want to key in on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What is fellowship? In our school, the kids have definitions that they have to say. And I was looking at Talia's definition the other... Actually, I had just bounced into this back room, seeing how all the kids were doing. And Mrs. Miller was swamped with a bunch of little readers back there, so I grabbed a few flags. I came to Talia's, and she had to say these definitions to me, and one of them was fellowship. And I was like, interesting. And her definition for fellowship was to enjoy being with a friend. That's not bad. That's not a bad definition. The Greek word is koinonia. And koinonia really has to do with communion, fellowship, A sharing in common. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, we know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew mostly, a little bit of Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Greek. When we talk about the New Testament being written in Greek, there's a particular kind of Greek. You'll hear this. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. It wasn't classical Greek. It wasn't the Greek of the well-educated. It was the Greek of the common man. So, Larry, did God make sure there was perfect grammar in Paul's sentences? I think God made sure that it was perfectly able to be understood. That's what God was interested in. And so Koine Greek is the Greek of the common man. That's where this word, you can hear it, koinonia, has to do with common. And so, it was a language that was shared by the masses. The word fellowship really has to do with sharing. I usually think the first part of fellowship that comes in my mind is thinking of spending time with the brethren. The way Talia's definition said, to enjoy being with a friend. And by the way, guys, our friends are in Christ, aren't they? What fellowship has light with darkness? I'm just going to veer off for a second and preach for a minute on this. If your friends are of the world, you're probably going to go down with the world. I'm not saying don't be friendly to them. I'm not saying, stay away from them. But if they're your friends and that's who you're hanging out with, and that's who you can't wait to spend time with, and that's something's wrong. Because they're on that broad path that leads to destruction. What fellowship has light with darkness? Some of us, the reality of it is, so we got some new Christians here. The reality of it is, new Christians, you better plug in. If you don't plug in to the fellowship that the Lord provides, to the common, the sharing of the Lord's church, you won't make it. Some of us here this morning, we haven't been here very often lately. I'm just telling you, you don't make it here. You don't assemble with the brethren. Because how can you be friends with somebody you don't know? It's true. You won't make it to heaven. Then you better be friends with other people who are making it to heaven. And you got a problem with that. You probably need to check yourself. Probably got some adjusting to do. Now, am I saying that everybody here in the Lord's church has treated you perfectly? I doubt it. I'd be shocked if everybody has. But the Lord has a system set up to help us make it to heaven. And one of the things that actually Josh was talking about, what had Christ gone through for us? He hung there on that cross. Every one of us had sins that nailed Him to that cross. And He was willing to forgive us. So part of the process of helping us get to heaven is learning to work well with others. And that means forgive. And that means say I'm sorry and mean it. Say I forgive you and mean it. Right? Those things we got to just do. And so, I just want to encourage you, brother. You want to make it to heaven. You need to be here. Your kids need to be here. If whatever your reasons are, I'll be nice and call them reasons, for not being here, find the reasons to be here. Josh, the Lord's Supper meditation was beautiful on that. Okay? So, to enjoy being with a friend. I mean, we should want to be here. I know my buddy Kevin pretty well. I've known him for a long time. And I can tell, I know Kevin well enough, I can tell when Kevin's struggling with his attitude a little bit. But you know, when Kevin, he's legitimate. He comes and he says, there's no place I'd rather be. I need to be. I can see that. I can see that go up. Being around the brother. Guys, some of you know me well enough to know exactly the same thing, right? I need this. By the Lord's design, every one of us needs this. This message is for all of us. We gotta be here. That's my veer off, okay, for today. Enjoy being with a friend. If you're coming here because you have to, something's wrong. Come here because you enjoy being with a friend. Maybe we gotta learn to make friends. It's okay. A man to have friends must... What, Jeremiah? Must show himself friendly, right? Old King James, a man to have friends must... It looks like shew himself friendly, but still translates. You still pronounce it show. Must show himself friendly. So get out there. I'm stealing some words from Jeremiah's dad. He knows what I'm saying. So get out there and show yourself friendly. Is what his dad used to say, right? Be friendly. Enjoy being with a friend. And this is certainly an aspect of fellowship in the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The early church, these are guys who, the record has been left for us, for those who want to make it to heaven. And I'm just going to say this one more time. Be serious about this. Be very serious about this. Where do you want to end up? You want to end up in heaven? Then you got to do the heavenly things. And the early church devoted themselves to four things: apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Devoted themselves. These were... I asked kids in school the other day, what does devout mean? Somebody said strict. They were strictly committed to this, weren't they? Devoted to it. Part of that is fellowship. Fellowship isn't limited to just sharing time with the brethren, although that's an important part of it. I think sharing may be a better word. Sharing fits potluck dinners. I think of fellowship, sometimes I think of potluck dinners. I like to eat what the brethren have cooked up. Get-togethers, Christian friends. It doesn't matter if we're sharing food, if we're sharing conversation, sharing time, tools, etc. Right? We should have all things in common. Sharing would also fit some other ways this word's used in the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. It's going to tie in really well with what Josh was working on. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Guys, when we partake, we share. We are participants in this. We are getting to eat and partake of together, aren't we? I kind of... A picture went through my mind, Josh. I liked it. You said, you can only partake in that which you know. I was thinking, Thanksgiving dinner, man. Okay? Everybody gets the turkey, I guess. Okay? And if you know more, you feast... Man, the turkey's good. And I don't want to... I'm doing this wrong. This is going to come out wrong. Because we all understand Jesus. And who that He, like Josh said, He went to the cross. And that, God, that's a starting spot for all of them. We need that. But man, I got to admit, the pumpkin pie is pretty good, too. To get in and be a part of that and share and participate in. You know, sweet potatoes, I'll just pass on to my brother or sister. But the pumpkin pie, I want a part of that. And as Christian, we should get to share, want to share in all of this. How about when we give financial resources to those in need? The Scripture uses the word fellowship or participation. Sharing in those ways. Romans 15, verse 26 talks about sharing those with others. 2 Corinthians 9, we were in that. Sharing. A participation financially to others. Now, think about this. You can give an example. Some few years back, Super Dave gave us a camper. Outright gave it to us. I tried to talk him out of it, and he said that was Satan being a bad influence. Okay. But he gave us a camper. We got to enjoy that at family camp. You know, our family does enjoy that. It was a nice year to have a nice hard-sided camper, warm in there. It was really nice. And we definitely enjoyed that. But there's a... You know what? Dave actually gets to enjoy our joy. I noticed that. You know, he's thankful. He gave it to us. He participates in our joy with that. That's the way it works, isn't it, brethren? You give something to somebody and you're a partaker in that with them. And the joy that comes from that, you get joy from that as well. It's true. So when we give financially, for the school, for example, we participate in that. And we get the joy of seeing, hey, these kids that do so well, and we see them do well in school, and we see them go on and grow into great young Christian adults who then power on that next generation who are faithful. And we say, man, we can be proud of them. They stand on our shoulders and they go ahead of us. And that's awesome. But we participated in that with them. We give to missions and we hear a work that's going on. We see somebody or hear of someone being immersed into Christ there. And we enjoy that. We participated with that. We knew that part of what we gave, they made a difference for somebody's eternity. That's awesome. We give to the congregation here. And I know when both Cody and Luke got immersed, both of them expressed a thankfulness to, and so did Mike and Will, the guys who had discipled them and immersed them in Christ. Everybody, all four of the people who spoke at all were thankful for the brethren and their support. Why? Because we're together in this thing, aren't we? We come, we participate, we share. We're friendly to each other. We look... Guys, I'll just tell you this right now. When you're out there Bible studying with somebody and you find somebody who's interested, really interested, and really wants to be crucified with Christ and wants to become a new creature and wants to present, wants to be a part of the kingdom, that's a rare thing. So, when you see somebody making progress that way, we should be super friendly to them. And I appreciate everybody here's effort. I think we can do better. I know we can do better. So, we don't all have the same role in the body, but we all participate in this. And then there's great joy in Israel, isn't there? Great joy when people come to Christ. Same with our Christian school. People who teach and help out in the Christian school and they share and they're proud of that. How about Sunday school classes? People who teach those Sunday school classes and they share and they participate and they're involved in the lives of these children and see the kids grow. It's just across the board. It's a cool thing. I was thinking about potluck dinners. And we sometimes even call those fellowship meals. And you know, not everybody brings the same thing, do they? I'm glad not everybody brings the same thing. But we each bring something. And we don't even usually have to plan it. You know, sometimes the ladies kind of get together and say, hey, we should have this sort of theme or whatever. But most of the time, everybody just brings something. And you know, when everybody brings something, the meal turns out great. But, and I'll preach on this for a second. Sometimes our potlucks are absolutely amazing. Lately, they've been a little, maybe I'm eating more. They've been maybe a little thin. Because not everybody, for it to work, guys, everybody needs to bring something, right? Doesn't matter really what, but everybody brings something and it's awesome. Isn't that the way the Lord's church works? You see what the Lord's working on? Everybody brings something. And whatever you bring, the Lord, He has this all planned out. But if we don't bring something, and I mean in a spiritual sense, there's a hole there. There's a certain part that is unfulfilled. You know, it was interesting. Our singing lately, I think we all have, there's variations of colds going on. And I know some of the brethren aren't here because they have pneumonia. And some of the brethren aren't here because they're traveling. But man, it hurts me personally, my singing a lot when Jared Schaefer isn't here. He usually sits right where Connor's sitting. Man, I'm right across from him, and I can kind of join in and follow a little bit. It kills me when Jared isn't here. I'm all over the map. He brings something that I need just in the singing, okay? Let alone the other stuff. It's true, brother. We all bring something, and that's true with the spread of the gospel. Fellowship with the brethren. You know, the only reason, guys, we have fellowship with each other, though, is because of the fellowship of the Spirit. You know, the close of 2 Corinthians there specifically says fellowship of the Spirit. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I honestly don't know. If I wasn't a Christian and you weren't a Christian, I don't know if I would like you or not. I mean, I don't know who of you I would like and who I wouldn't. I honestly don't. I don't know if I'd like anybody if I wasn't a Christian. Tell you the truth, I just don't know. But I know, because we're Christians, I like you. Most of the time. And when I don't, I have, that's my problem. I got to work on my attitude. And I hope you like me most of the time. There is something common here, guys, that we have that's an eternal bond. And that is what matters. Philippians chapter 2, let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 3. If therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Because the reason we have fellowship with each other is because there is fellowship of the Spirit. The reason we can do these other things, we can be of the same mind, maintain the same love, be united in spirit, we can be intent on one purpose. The reason we can think of each other as more important than ourselves is because of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This common Spirit has been given to all of us. The sharing that we have in Him. You know, Josh pretty much preached my message. Just shorter and a little better, maybe. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, where is that? That comes from Jesus. We share in that together. We're participants in that. The only reason, you ever thought about this? The only reason we know really how to share, the only reason we know how to love is because God first loved us. I mean real love, right? We don't know how to love otherwise. The only reason we know how to share, when kids share, I notice there's usually a give and take expectancy. I'll share, okay, I don't want to share. Well, you give that to them and they'll give that to you. Okay, that's a trade, right? We'll trade something. Actually the whole free enterprise system, which by the way is a beautiful economic system, but it's based off of I do for you and you'll do for me. There's a trust in that system. But the reality of it is, guys, none of us would know how to share, really share, except that Christ first shared with us. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells His disciples, He says, freely you received, freely give. That's something I try to remind myself when I'm getting a little stingy. And I can get a little stingy. It shows up in my marriage sometimes. I think I've said this before. My view of sharing on certain things, like if it's ice cream or mud pie or something like that, I don't want to share with Julie. I really don't. What the way I would like to share is share money with her. I'll buy you one and I'll buy me one. But this one is mine. I mean, if it's something I really like, I don't. So I know I can get a little stingy sometimes, and sometimes in my spiritual life that can show up a little bit. And I have to remind, hey, freely you received. Wilson, freely you receive. The Lord gave, freely give. Share some of that mud pie with your brother or sister in Christ. Okay? Kids, no. Wife, yes. Anyways. Okay. So what do we have in common with the Spirit? We've been brought into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. We've been brought into fellowship with Christ. We enjoy being with our friend Jesus. Isn't that really, the table that Josh talked about, the table really is, we get to feast on Christ. Hey, we enjoy being, the bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup that we drink is a sharing in the blood of Christ. And the sharing that we have with each other through that is because of Christ. Otherwise, people are just drinking juice, eating crackers. Prior to the gospel in our lives, guys, we were enemies of Christ. Now we're His friends. We can enjoy being with a friend. We receive the Spirit immersion. He dwells in us. And not only does He dwell in us, but He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we're a part of this family of God. We have, as the family, guys, we have the same goals. You got to remember that, don't we? We care about the same. We really care about the same things. Julie and I were just recently chatting, and you know, in case you haven't noticed, we're different. She's competitive. I'm kind of laid back. You know, she's She's kind of loud and obnoxious. I'm kind of quiet, you know. And we're a little different in those ways. Sometimes the mouth... Anyways. But, you know, our differences, I think they really complement each other. We really... Like, she calms me down. I crank her up and, you know... She keeps me from being over-competitive, and I get her to, you know, compete a little on some things. But really, you know, and I don't know. I try to figure that out. They really seem to work well together. Is it because we've been married 20 years, and if we're going to love each other, we've had to figure out how to make those work well together? Or is it just a good fit? I don't really know. I can't figure out, you know, why the fit is there. But I know in the body of Christ, guys, God makes this fit. And we do need to appreciate each other, you know, for our differences. One thing about Julie and I, we have exactly the same goals. We share the same desires. We talk about the same things. Isn't that true in the body of Christ, guys? Isn't that true? We're led by the Spirit. We get to eat at Christ's table, all of us. He invites us to that meal where He provides the food. You know, one thing I always enjoyed was family dinners. And my mom was just fun and lovey-dovey and funny and just fun around our table. And, you know, when I always thought we would get together for those things for, you know, especially after we moved out and went away, for mom. I mean, to see mom and to... You know, after mom died, you know what I noticed? Those things are important to my dad, too. I wouldn't have known as much it was for my dad. It was more for my mom. But they're very important to my dad. You know what? Guys, in the scriptural sense here, God's a father. The church is our mother. Is getting together important for the church? Very important for the church. But you know who else that's important to? Dad. He sets the... He wants to spend time with us that's not distracted. It's undivided attention. Time with us. We have fellowship with each other because we have fellowship with the Spirit, of the Spirit. We share that together. And so, you know, finally, just kind of pulling this together, God does want us to share together. The early church had all things in common. The church was together, one heart, one soul, one mind. You read through the book of Acts, it's all over the place in the unity. We share together in sufferings with Christ. There's something to be said of fellowship of His sufferings. You can't really know somebody till you go to war with them in one form or another. You can't. We can, hey, I love you, man, you're a great brother. But when you go through something tough with somebody, and you end up having each other's back, and you're on the same side, and you're engaging in spiritual warfare together against Satan. You're out there, and you're reaching out to somebody else and trying to rescue their soul from the pits of darkness, and you're doing that together. I mean, that's fellowship. Yeah. Now you got you. There's a bond there that isn't going to be broken. So we get to share in Christ the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, adversity. My dad says in marriage, you know, he says let's see if I can get this right. But the fires of adversity forge the bonds that hold us together. And that's true. If marriage was a piece of cake, you'd never really get to know each other. Right? You get to know each other when stuff gets tough. So, I'm not saying pray that things be tough in your marriage, necessarily. But there's a part of that, that you work through those things together. You're together. You're joined together forever. An example, guys, I enjoy the community of the Christian school. You know, the Scripture says we have all things in common. I really enjoy the community. I have a fellowship with the kids. I have a fellowship with the other teachers that I wouldn't have otherwise. And we as parents, we get a fellowship with each other that we wouldn't have otherwise because our kids sometimes don't get along. Sometimes maybe staff, we don't get along. We have to work through stuff together. And we come through that, and man, there is a fellowship. There is a unity that we would not otherwise have. Just can't help but notice Mr. Schaefer there in a tie-dye. Sure, we have a fellowship that we would not, you know, after working these years in school together, we would not have otherwise. You go through stuff together, and we've bonked heads a couple times. I know it's hard to believe, Mrs. Schaefer, but we've come through that, and both of us being willing to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you, and there's a, man, that's a real friendship. And it isn't going to be taken away. It can't be. So, that's an example. You know, Gary Smalley, in his marriage seminar years ago, he didn't put these words, but he put the idea out there, and I put these words to it. You ever seen the sign that says the family that prays together stays together? Well, I kind of took what the point he was making. He said, and I came out with this, the family that camps and prays together stays together. Because he said, what do all successful families have in common? They camp. They go camping. And he kind of laughed about it. But because when you go camping, something always goes wrong. Something always goes wrong, right? Because we're all back from family camp. Okay? And some stuff just, there's always some adversity, and you have to find, you're either going to ruin your trip, everybody have a bad attitude, down the dumps, and this thing's, you know, why do we ever, you call us a happy family, why do we have to spend so much time together anyway? Or you're going to find a way to work through the conflict, and you're going to come, and you're going to, man, there's bonds that get formed there that can't be broken. Guys, as a congregation, we need to keep growing in fellowship. We grow together as we individually grow in Christ. I'm going to close with 1 John chapter 1. You know, realistically, everybody got to be growing. I think you can, you know, I say about marriage, it takes two to have a really bad marriage. Maybe not completely, but most of the time, in a bad marriage, it's two people that are both selfish and immature and refusing to grow up. It definitely takes two to have a really good marriage. Somewhere in between, I don't know. But to have a really good marriage, two people have to really grow up. They have to mature. They have to be selfless. They have to sacrifice for each other. In the body of Christ, to have a real tight family, we all got to be growing. We all got to be willing to sacrifice. We all got to be willing to lay down our lives for each other. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Hey, if you say you have fellowship with Christ and you're living like the world, you're walking in darkness, you're being led by the flesh rather than led by the Spirit, you're a liar. That's what he says. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, notice this. In verse 6, he says, if we walk in the dark, if we say we have fellowship with Christ and walk in the darkness, we're lying. We don't really have fellowship with Jesus, right? But now he says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with whom? One another. That's the way it works. We don't just have fellowship with Christ, we have fellowship with one another. And so, guys, our attitude towards the church should be great. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light. We need to make a commitment to grow individually in Christ. As we grow in Christ, we grow together. And if our attitude about the church is wrong, we need to remember Jesus' attitude for the church. He died for the church. He shed His blood for the church. He loves the church. Somebody mentioned it earlier today. Sometimes people say, oh, I have a relationship with Christ, but not with the church. Impossible. Impossible. You're not going to make it to heaven and be stuck in solitary confinement for eternity. That's not an option. People are going to be there are the people that God called here. God chose here. So, hey, let's make a commitment. Let's walk in the light. Let's have fellowship with each other. Let's help each other get to heaven. And let's enjoy it along the way. And even the conflict, hey, let's look at it with a good attitude. Because you know what? The family that camps and prays together stays together. Okay? The adversity. We go through that stuff. Let's go through it together. And we come out on the other side stronger every time. So, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's stand.